the studios of Boise State Public Radio News, I'm Samantha Wright, filling in for Jimmy Gaudette. It's Idaho Matters. Imagine this, 50 chainsaw crews fan out over carefully selected areas of Owyhee County, and for 8 hours a day, they cut down hundreds of juniper trees. Then in the spring, more crews go out and burn those fallen trees. This is the Bosch Project. Bosch stands for Bruno Owyhee Sage-Grouse Habitat, and in 6 years, crews have cleared 140,000 acres of encroaching junipers. The goal is to restore native plant species like sagebrush, bring up more streams and wetlands, and bring back sage-grouse and other animals to the land. Here to tell us more about the project are Connor White, Bosch Project Coordinator for Pheasants Forever and the BLM, Jeremy Maestas, National Sagebrush Ecosystem Specialist for Working Lands for Wildlife and the USDA Natural Resources Conservation Service, and Steve Stubner, writer and producer of the Life on the Range series, which is sponsored by the Idaho Rangeland Resources Commission. I want to welcome all of you here, and I want to jump right in. Connor, why are juniper trees bad? Aren't these a native species?
I say they're not. Junipers aren't necessarily bad. We just have too many of them in the wrong places. We've had a lot of fire suppression over the last century, and it's just led to an absolute explosion of them all across the West and across the Midwest as well. It's not just junipers. We're also, you know, Eastern red cedar in the Great Plains. But for our neck of the woods here in Southwest Idaho, we've got Western juniper. And a lot of the literature suggests that there's been anywhere from 125% to a 600% increase of them out there on the landscape.
And that's since, what, 1860, I think I read?
Yeah, pretty much since we settled the West.
And why are they taking over? Why so much? What did we do? I assume it's us.
It indeed is us. We got very good at suppressing fire. For over a century, we basically put every fire out, you know, mentality of fire is bad. But additionally to that, we also grazed out all the fine fuels in the system. So historical, you know, grazing wasn't the greatest. We're in a lot better spot now with managed grazing, but the early days of grazing was kind of a free for all. And between, yeah, grazing out all the fine fuels and putting out all the fires, fire is the main thing that kills these conifers, and we completely removed it from the landscape.
Wow, it's just incredible. Okay, Jeremy, how big is this project? How much land are you covering or trying to cover?
So the Bosch project, we're estimating, is probably 5 or 6 times larger than any comparable conifer removal effort we've done for the purposes of sagebrush restoration. So a typical project around the West might be, you know, 50 to 100,000 acres. And here in Owyhee County, the Bureau of Land Management alone is planning to treat over 600,000 acres. And that's not even counting the additional acres that private landowners, the NRCS and state and other federal agencies have done on private land side of the equation. So Connor, I don't know, we're probably going to be pushing up towards 1 million acres once this project's, you know, fully completed.
That's crazy. That's amazing. That is so big. Connor, talk about the origins of this project, because you got in on the ground floor, I think.
Yeah, so Bosch, they started in 2019 on the BLM lands, but on private and state lands, it was really the NRCS-led sage-grouse initiative in about 2010. So when that started is when things really started to ramp up on private and state lands. So they got a little bit of a head start on us, just because it took quite a while to get through the environmental compliance documentation called NEPA, to work through the NEPA analysis to get Bosch online for the BLM portions. So we're a little bit behind, but we are treating, I'd say, more acres than the private land is treating. So we're really about even now in terms of private land treated versus BLM land treated. But we'll be increasing and getting ahead of it, because on the BLM land, we're treating about 30,000 acres per year.
Okay, let's talk about sagebrush and sage grouse and junipers. So tell me about junipers. Connor, you said they aren't necessarily bad, but if what I read was correct, they suck up all the water. And when you cut down the trees, the water comes back.
So yeah, there's quite a few issues going on. In terms of from a grouse perspective, we know from the literature that if you have anywhere at or around or above 4% canopy cover, which equates to about 4 trees per acre, that sage grouse start avoiding landscapes with that amount of trees on it on a wholesale basis. You know, they've had radio marked birds that they just plain old don't use those areas as nearly as much anymore. And if they do use those areas, they're at a much higher risk getting predated, you know. And the theory is that, you know, the trees provide perches for predators or cover for, you know, ground-based predators to be able to go in there and get them.
And that's all it takes is 4 trees and they'll go away.
They won't necessarily go away, but yeah, they might still use the area, even though they're at a greater risk of dying in those areas. It's called an ecological trap. But yeah, when we go in and remove the trees, it's very well documented that, I mean, it's been in some instances just days after you have cut some of these trees that these grouse are moving back into the areas. It's pretty impressive.
And Jeremy, you've done this in Eastern Oregon, and you've basically counted the grouse and seen more coming back.
Yeah, the Bosch project isn't shooting from the hip. They're building off of over 20 years of scientific research showing that this stuff works, and it works for grouse. We did a really large scale, one of its kind study in Southern Oregon in the Warner Mountains with the BLM, private landowners, and other local partners there. And followed grouse around before and after large scale conifer removal. And what we found was exactly what Connor mentioned. Grouse immediately started nesting in areas once the trees were removed. And then over a decade, we were able to show that it actually bent the curve on their population growth rates over areas that were untreated. So we saw a 12% increase in their population growth rate, which is the first time we've ever documented in the literature that we can benefit grouse at a population scale through active restoration. So very exciting and encouraging news that the Bosch project is taking up and applying to Southwest Idaho.
Well, and Jeremy, you're seeing other birds coming back, right? And other native vegetation.
Sage grouse are a bellwether for the entire sagebrush ecosystem. We like to say, so goes sage grouse, so goes the sagebrush seed. And what we mean are, there's a whole arc of peril happening with over 350 species of conservation concern, plants and animals that will probably never have their own initiative. They're not sexy enough or interesting enough for that kind of investment. But when we do things for sage grouse, we're seeing benefits for other sagebrush dependent species like songbirds, the brewer sparrows, for example, that are doubling after we remove trees from these landscapes. We just did a study in Montana that was recently published showing increased population growth rates for brewer sparrow and sage sparrow after conifer removal. So we're very excited about the co-benefits that we're achieving when these highly targeted, well-executed projects are done for sage grouse.
And Steve, I know you're out there somewhere. You got to go out. You did a great video talking about the project. You talked to a bunch of ranchers. I mentioned when the junipers are gone, more water comes back. You had some ranchers who were saying they saw water they hadn't seen in decades.
Right. Plus Fish and Game's been tracking it really close, and they're seeing springs come back to life and creeks come back to life and more water for, aquatic life and like spotted frogs and things like that. So it's quite something. The junipers really tend to just take over those sites, it appears. And when you remove them, everything else just comes back to life from the native plants to the critters. And so it's an amazing conservation success story, really. And that's that's why we're very interested in partnering with these guys to do the story and help tell that story, because it's a little bit counterintuitive, you know, to take out trees necessarily. But when you get into the science of it, they've really got it documented well. And so we're really fortunate to be kind of on the cutting edge of the latest science results and things like that, and just great to share that information for people. And I think we're just going to see sage grouse thriving out there in Owyhee County in a way that we never have before. And like Jeremy says, it's just a really large scale conservation improvement project that really will benefit, I think, the whole rest of the West and the nation.
You mentioned a lot of folks involved. How many partner agencies are in this project? I mean, you've got everybody across the federal, state, you've got local landowners, you've got a ton of people, not to mention the scientists.
Bureau of Land Management, obviously, Idaho State Department of Lands, Idaho Department of Fish and Game, the Idaho Governor's Office of Species Conservation, Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation, the organization I work for, Pheasants Forever, Natural Resource Conservation Service. I'm sure I'm going to forget a couple of them there. But I mean, we've got, yeah, between a half dozen to a dozen just great partners. And I work with them all every day, just trying to coordinate, you know, just the overall landscape scale stuff of what we're trying to do is like just providing information to, you know, writing an annual report, you know, some of my duties. But then since I'm also employed by Pheasants Forever, I can secure grant funding. Like we've been pretty, very successful at getting grant funding from like the National Fish and Wildlife Foundation, for instance, has provided nearly $600,000 towards the project over the course of the last several years. So yeah, a lot of great partners that we're working with out there.
And Connor, you mentioned,
you know, Samantha, when you have that many partners coming together on a project, I think that's a really positive sign. You know, that you have a lot of conservation organizations seeing the benefits. And it kind of takes a village between them all to make things happen, you know, given budgets and whatnot. So, you know, again, I just think that's a real success story.
Well, Connor, you mentioned coordination. I mean, you send, what, 50 chainsaw crews out into sagebrush country in the summer, and they cut down trees all day long.
Yeah, pretty much. And I did forget a partner. I forgot the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. But yeah, when we get to the time of year when we do the cutting, which starts about mid-July and can go anywhere till we get weathered out, at least on the BLM lands, the state and private can cut basically any time during the year. But yeah, the BLM will run its own contracts and have its own contract inspections going. But then, yeah, if I'm running a contract through Pheasants Forever, definitely I'm, you know, very involved with being out there. And even if it's BLM contract too, just monitoring progress, making sure we're getting the quality that we want, that the contractors are following the specifications that the, you know, that we've laid out for them. But yeah, you know, depending on the particular year, we might have several different companies working with multiple different crews. And yeah, at least when we shot the Life on the Range stuff, we had two different contractors out there and 50 different chainsaws running.
Oh man, that's crazy. And then you burn the downed trees when it's safe to do so.
Yep. And a lot of times we do that in the spring because when, you know, we get the spring moisture and then that the brush pulls all that up into its leaves and it really doesn't make it receptive to fire at all. So we can go in, target the red needle slash, get that burned off, you know, if there's heavier accumulations or if we're near roadways just for firefighter safety later in the year, you know, giving them a good anchor spot to work off of those main roads. It really doesn't burn up a lot of brush just because everything's so green, which is what we want because sage grouse need sage brush. So we want to be limiting, you know, the amount of fire that we have out there. But fire is very important on killing the seed source because, you know, it's not like these kind of treatments are just one cut and we're done, you know, and we're walking away. So we got to be staying on top of, oh, maybe they missed a branch or missed a low hanging limb there, or there's a bunch of new seedlings coming, you know, anywhere from 5 to 10 years after we do the initial cut. But if we go in and do a little bit of burning, we've greatly reduced that seed source.
Steve, how do ranchers like this idea? How are they liking Bosch?
They're loving it. And they're really the leaders to begin with in terms of the work starting on their land and then state land as well. And they're seeing all those results. And so that was kind of they were the pioneers really in letting this all happen and participating with the pros, give it a whirl and see what happened. And a lot of times what's good for sage grouse is also good for livestock and wildlife. And that's definitely the great combo we've got going here.
Jeremy, how happy are you with the success of this project?
I take a lot of pride in the work that our partnerships are doing across the sagebrush biome. We have a lot of challenges, and this is near and dear to me. I grew up in Nevada, the sagebrush state, and we're seeing 1.3 million acres a year of our sagebrush ecosystems lost to things like conifer encroachment. So anytime we can set the clock back and keep these lands healthy and resilient for current and future generations, it really brings a lot of pride to the work that we do.
Connor, how about you? How happy are you with the success?
Oh, it's been a massive success. Yeah. And I'd just like to, reiterate Jeremy's point about, a 12% increase for a long-lived species like sage grouse is a huge deal. And let's say after we can get through this conifer encroachment issue, it's not like this is going to be a perpetual thing, in this landscape. Once we kind of get over the hump here, I would say in maybe another 5 years, we can really start to tackle the other threats that are out there on the landscape, such as invasive annual grasses, cheatgrass, and Medusa head. We're a lot more effective, if we do any chemical treatments out there. Once those conifers are removed, they're not intercepting any of that stuff. But it's been, I would say from all angles, this project has just been a massive success, and I'm just happy to be a part of it.
It's really neat for, Idaho residents that are able to recreate, whether that's just hiking or fishing or backpacking or hunting, to go to this landscape now and see sagebrush from horizon to horizon and not a forest. Those are the vistas that their grandparents used to see. And, they're able to experience that wide open Western feel and country again in places like Bosch.
Well, I want to wish you continued success with the project. And thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Yeah, of course.
Thanks, Samantha.
We've been speaking with Connor White, Bosch Project Coordinator for Pheasants Forever in the BLM, Jeremy Maestas, National Sagebrush Ecosystem Specialist for Working Lands for Wildlife and the USDA Natural Resources Conservation Service, and Steve Stubner, writer and producer of the Life on the Range series, sponsored by the Idaho Rangeland Resources Commission. We'll put more info and a great video of the project, along with some pictures, on our website, BoiseStatePublicRadio.org. Thanks for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Samantha Wright. We'll see you tomorrow.
Hi, it's Terry Gross, the host of Fresh Air. We bring you in-depth, long-form interviews with actors, directors, musicians, authors, journalists, and more. Listen to our Peabody Award-winning Fresh Air podcast from WHYY and NPR.